But I want to share this morning with you something that has been on my heart. And I'll just share my heart with you for this year, where we're going to head this year through everything that we already committed and what we do as a church. But the title of my message today is, We Are Commissioned. We are commissioned. You know, thinking about the church and each church, they want to have a mission, right? You go on every website, everybody has a mission. And it's all good. Those things are very good and very great. But one of the missions that is given by God to the church, it is to share the gospel. In whatever missions that we do, we must have that as the cornerstone of what the church or the body of Christ is to do. Jesus had one mission. It doesn't mean that he was not doing different things when he was living his life. But his mission was to come and save that which was lost. And that was driving him to come from heaven, the love for the lost, the love for a relationship with his Father and with the humanity to have that relationship back. That was driving him. Now, he did a lot of things. He healed the sick. He was giving sight to the blind. He was giving miracles to those that needed miracles. But he never lost the mission why he came to this earth. And for that reason, we are to embrace the scriptures that call all of us to do what he did, is to share this good news. I find myself lately, when I'm around people, the thought comes to me, and sometimes it's so overwhelming that I have to make myself think about something else because I don't know how much I can handle it at moments. And the thought comes whenever when I shop for groceries or I go to Harrisburg, Hershey area, or around people, you watch people around and the realization comes in a split second that majority of the people probably around you, most likely, they do not know Christ the way they act. And for a second, just my heart is filled with pain and sorrow, confusion. How come, God, you can't save them? But he can. He can. But he has the church to do that through us. He can do that. But he's calling me to be part of that. And for a moment or two, I think about it and I can't because it's just so much pain comes and overwhelming feeling of God. If you don't do something, potentially these people might die in sin. Would you touch my heart now to be sensitive to what you're doing? Would you touch my heart to be sensitive when you're asking me to share this hope in you? And we're not to do that out of fear, but we are to share this gospel out of love. Out of love. Billy Graham once said this, "We are the Bible the world is reading. We are the creeds the world is needing, and we are the sermons the world is hearing." It's we, it's us. By our actions, by our words, by our deeds, and yes, by sharing. Because this gospel, it's not meant for us only to live for ourselves, but also to speak. There's a quote that I actually quoted here years ago that I said, you know, let your actions speak louder than the words and preach the gospel with your actions, not necessarily with your words. But do you know that that's contrary to the gospel? Because the gospel is calling us to share this gospel. As much as we do it with our deeds and with our works, with our lives, it's great, but we also are to share it with our mouth. And God is gonna help us to do just that. Every person in the face of the earth has value. Has value. Sometimes I might look at somebody and think that, oh, I don't know about that or I don't know about this. Especially if we have created opinions about certain things and we forget that Jesus loves them. That Jesus still loves them. Jesus died on a cross for them as much as he died for me. And I am no different than my neighbor, but by the grace of God. By the grace of God. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 says this, Christ bought us with his blood and made us free from the law. You see, we don't belong to ourselves anymore, as we heard today. We belong to him. When he has bought us, we belong into his family. What he does, we are to do. What he speaks, we are to speak. What his passion is, we are to have the same passion. And think about it, that if we do all of those things, how much more the gospel would be spread. The Bible says that wars and rumors of wars we will have. All of the things that are going on in the world, we will witness. And so many people are thinking, this is the end probably. Well, we're getting closer for sure. But one of the signs that we are at the end is for the gospel to be preached to the ends of the world. And this is when it's gonna happen, that's gonna be the end. And right now it's the mercy of God that is still keeping his coming back, because he desires to still save people. He desires still to bring people from darkness into light. One of the first things that I wanna mention to us today and remind all of us, and our prayer, my prayer is, Lord, baptize me in your love so I can be given for others. We cannot be given for other people without love. We can fake it for a season till they disappoint us, as we've heard today from our general overseer, right? We can put a little bit of effort to just for a season to kind of just manage a little bit. But ultimately, if we wanna have sustainability, it's love. It has to be love. And my heart desire is, God, in this new year, would you baptize me with your love? With your love for you and also for the people. And this has to be birthed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to ask that and desire that even when we don't feel it, even when we don't have it, we have to say, God, give me this because I want this. I want this. And there is no greater joy than to see a born-again believer set free from the addiction, set free from the power of hell, set free from sin, and witnessing how a person is being changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. What a joy that is. I witnessed that growing up. I witnessed people being saved. I witnessed how people were coming and God would free them from the addictions they were having. And let me tell you, there is no greater joy than to see that. There is no greater joy. And sometimes we need that joy. All the time we need the joy. And we can say, God, baptize me in this love. We have our Bible school here, living for the benefit of others. In nature, we are selfish people. But we, being born again believers, supernaturally can be selfless for other people. Because this is what the gospel is. John chapter 13 says this, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. You love one another. It's not a suggestion, it's not if you feel good, it's not if they deserve it, but it's a command from the Lord that you love one another. And over here it says, just as I have loved you. How did he love us? He gave himself for me and for you. That's what Jesus is calling me and you to do, to love our people, to love the people around us, just as he loved us. One of the things he did, he died to himself. He died on a cross. And he has proven his love through the cross by saying, I'm giving everything for you. That's how much I love you. And now he says that you do the same. You love others because I have shown you the example how to do that. And you can do that through me. All things are possible. Praise be to God. You also to love one another. By this, all the people know that you are my disciples if you have loved one among each other. This is how they know that we belong to him, that we are his disciples, that we love one another. Paul's greater burden for the lost was written in Romans chapter 9, verse 2 and 3. Paul is saying this, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. And Paul is talking here about the lost. Once Jesus came and saved him, when he had that conversion moment, he says, now I can't just keep this for myself. But if anybody has experienced that anguish for the lost, as Jesus did, as close as you can get, it was Apostle Paul. To the point that he says this later on, for I could wish that myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindreds according to the flesh. In different words, says, listen, I'm willing to put myself off as long as the people around me, they will get to know Christ and they will come into the kingdom of God. I'm willing to pay a price for that sake. And this revelation came to Apostle Paul by the power of the Holy Spirit supernaturally. And when we understand that, of the love of God, we cannot keep this love for ourselves, but we will share it with others. We will do it with others. Paul had a passion for the lost. Can we pray this year as we're coming, God, give me a passion for the lost. Do you know that everything that we work for in this life, one day will be gone. One day will be gone. And so many of us, and myself included, sometimes we get so caught up focusing on the things that are temporary that we forget about the things that are eternal. And I'm not talking about we're not taking care of the bills or our families or all of these things, but I'm talking about when we get obsessed with a lifestyle like that, and sometimes we are tempted and we forget the bigger picture. As last Sunday, I've shared how this year is to be intentional for us as a church. Intentional in reading the Word of God, growing in the Lord, and now being intentional, reaching the lost. Reaching the lost. To love God is also to love people. Those two cannot be separated. The evidence in our life how much we love God can be seen by how much we love people. Because we cannot see, I love God, the one that I do not see him physically, but hate my brother or my sister who I see physically. And over here is such a powerful verse that says, listen, if you say that you love God, the evidence of that is you will love people. Because God is love. God is love. And I want this into my life. For this love to grow into my heart, into my family, to grow for the lost. Praise be to God. The second thing I want to remind us today, that our prayer this year should be, Lord, clear my vision. Clear my vision. Sometimes when I look around and I see some people that are not the way I would think they should be, automatically from our flesh comes this prejudgment, right? We don't even want to talk. Sometimes we don't even want to shake hands. Sometimes we don't even want to sit next to them because we already prejudged what group they belong. But God Almighty, would you clear our vision to see them the way you see them? As long as they have breath in their lungs, Jesus loves them and wants to save them. Oh God, help us to be part of that. Give us the grace to be part of that. Mark chapter 8, verse 22 and down says this. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. Verse 23, he took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, do you see anything? Verse 24, he looked up and said, I see people. They look like trees walking around. Once more, Jesus put his hand on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored. And he saw everything clearly. I love this scripture because there is not many things that Jesus did twice. Matter of fact, I don't know even if there is more things that Jesus had to do two times. But over here, the Bible says that Jesus had to do something two times for him to have a clear vision. And this man, when Jesus asked him, what do you see? He says, well, I do see people. He did not say, I see trees. He said, I do see people. But they are like trees to me. They're like objects to me. He recognized that they were people, but he was not seeing them physically the way Jesus was seeing them. And the Bible says that Jesus touched him again. Oh God, we need your touch again. If we have moved from a place where we don't love people, when we have moved from a place where no longer we have a compassion for the lost, if we have moved from a place where no longer in our prayer closet, we are crying out to the Lord for the lost. Oh God, would you touch our eyes again so we can see clearly. So we can see clearly. And this is what happened over here. Jesus did not turn away from him when he was honest. Jesus did not say, I already touched you. What is wrong with you? Why are you looking at people as trees? You should see clearly. He did not say that to him. But in his mercy and his kindness, he touched him again. And the Bible says his sight was restored. All we need our sight to be restored. And he saw everything clearly. Now in this scripture, it talks about that he began to see clearly in the physical eyes the way Jesus saw people, the way we see people physically. But I want to suggest also that we need the touch of God for us to see people spiritually. Spiritually. We sing a song at times, "Break my heart for what breaks yours." And we sing this song so often, but I think we would die if really God would give us for a moment a heart of what really breaks his heart for us to have that experience. We will probably die. Sometimes we don't know what we're singing. But for a moment, God, as close as we can get to that place, give us that heart. Give us that sight to see the lost the way you see them. And the third thing in my closing that I want to remind us. Lord, commission me. Here I am. Commission me. Throughout the world and throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, it was always a people that Jesus or God was looking for that will say yes to him. That will say yes to him. In Romans chapter 10, verse 12 and down says this, "For there is no distinction between Jews and Greek." In different words, there is no distinction between Americans, Russians, Slavic, Ukrainians, African Americans, white. There is no distinction. We're all one people when we come to Jesus Christ. One body. "For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him." And we love to quote this scripture. I hear these scriptures a lot. And over here it says this, "Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." Did you hear that scripture? I heard that scripture. I preach about this scripture. But often we stop right over here. And we move to something else. But over here, in the book of Romans, the continuation of the scripture says this, "Now, how then will they call on him whom they have not believed?" It's a question now. We quote, man, if they hear it, if they call upon the name, they will be saved. Praise the Lord, I'm gonna live my own life. No, but over here, he's continuing and says, "How will they call on him in whom they have not believed?" Second thing over here says, "How will they believe in him whom they have not heard?" And over here says, "And how will they hear without a preacher or without a messenger?" In different words, it's putting conditions that we as the body of Jesus Christ, in whatever what we do already, we are commissioned to share this gospel. Because there are people that Jesus wants to save. There are people that want to call on the name of the Lord. And if they call upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved. In this week's reading, when we were reading about the fall of the nature in the book of Genesis, it came a moment that the Bible says, then they began to call upon the Lord. But for people to call upon the name of the Lord, we need to speak this message. So they can hear this message and we can become those messengers. Isaiah 52 verse 7 says this, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news." You see, when we become the messengers of Jesus Christ, we always have good news. Even in the bad news, we always have good news. The good news of peace and salvation. The news that God of Israel reigns. And this is the news that we have in this dark generation that we live. This is the news that we have when everything seems like it's falling apart. And this news is that God of Israel still reigns. Nothing happens in this world by coincidence. It's not that he's not in control anymore. It's not that he's so far away he doesn't hear you anymore. But this good news to come to our neighbor, to come to somebody and say, even though you're going through trials, even though things are falling apart, even though you're going through hardship, but God still reigns. And because he reigns, he wants to save you. And because he reigns, he's in control. And because he reigns, he has you by the right hand. And this is the desire. In Isaiah chapter 6, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but Isaiah had a visitation with the Lord. He's seen him. He saw the Lord high and exalted. He saw what it means to be as close as possible to him. And over here, he came to a conclusion and says, "Woe, it's me," I cried. "I am ruined, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among the unclean people. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." He has seen that which was always the desire of the Lord to bring us closer to him. And one of the first things he's seen it, how I am unworthy, how undone I am before him. And later on over here, it says that he was touched. Then one of the seraphims came, flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for." And one of the thoughts comes to me that often we think that we're so unworthy to be able to share this good news. We have our own problems. We have our own faults. But over here it says, no, if you're cleansed, don't call it now unclean. If we belong to the Lord now, don't live in the lifestyle that always you think, "Woe, it's me, woe, it's me." But come to the Lord, let him touch you and move forward in what God has for me and for you. Verse 8 says this, his response, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and whom will go for us?'" And Isaiah probably looked around. He probably saw there's a creature. There is God. God, you can go. I know you can go. Do you know that I find myself often praying? And about 2 years now, my prayer changed. That I prayed, "God, would you do that? Would you do that?" And I always had the assumption that God would do that through other people. I never put myself in the position to say, "God, use me. Here I am." And in our prayers, we're so good at praying and making sure that God knows about everything and to remind him that he needs to do all of those things through other people. But I changed my prayer. It says, "God, would you use me? Would you use me? The prayer that I'm praying, would you answer this very prayer through my life? Would you have mercy? Would you use my life for the very prayer, very desire that I have maybe for somebody else to do it? Here I am." And over here Isaiah says, "Here I am, send me. Send me." God wants to send me. He wants to send you. He wants to send you, my brother, my sister. He wants to send a child. He wants to send all of us because we have been commissioned. We have been commissioned. Our prayer should be, "Help me. Help me to witness. Help me, Lord. Give me the grace to love. I can't do this on my own. Would you help me?" And Matthew chapter 28 says this, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything." Some people like to obey some of the things. Some of the things. No, he says, "Everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the ends of the age." You see, God is with you. You should not fear to share this gospel because he is with you. He is with you. Where should we start? You might think, should I be leaving the church right now and going to Harrisburg? I don't know, it's up to you. But one of the questions practically we should ask, where should we start? You know where I'm starting? In the prayer. In the prayer. I don't wanna go in this journey to promise God, "God, I'm gonna do this and this and this in this new year," because I know I'll fail. I'm not gonna start on my own to have this ambition that I'm gonna go and do all of these things and then burn out. No. I'm going to start in prayer. "God, baptize me with your love and cause me now for this love to drive me to the lost." And the evidence would that be that people would get saved. Father, we thank you that we come this morning in this moment to you to ask you to baptize us in your love. Would you help us? Would you help us, God? Because we don't have what it takes on our own. We need you, oh Lord. We need you. Baptize my family in your love. So we don't live for ourselves, but we would live for the benefit of others. Lord, I pray that it wouldn't be just slogans in our lives, but there will be evidence of that. Because you have shown us love requires sacrifice. And I pray that you'd help us to sacrifice some of the things for the sake of the lost, for them to get saved. And what a joy there is, God Almighty, what a joy there is. I pray that you would give us the grace to see those that are in need, to see those that are broken, to see those that are far away that nobody even wants to stop and talk with them. Help us, oh Lord. Give us a clear vision to see them the way you see them. Lord, even if it's for a moment, for a second, help us, oh God. We need you. Clear our misconceptions. Renew our mind and touch our eyes. I pray, oh God, that we will not live in fear, but we will live in freedom that you have called us to live and to pass this freedom to other people. To feel free to embrace somebody, to cry with somebody, to buy them a meal, to share this good news. Help us, oh Lord. Lord, and commission me, commission us, because here we are. We don't wanna be known as people that filled the pews in church, but we wanna be known of people that have made an impact eternity, for eternity. God, I pray that you would help us this year. Help us this year as we're coming into this New Year's. Lord, help us. Here we are. Use us. Use us. Use us for your glory. We need you, Holy Spirit. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen.